Chapter 13. Kylar's new right arm was still tingling. It looked just like the hand and forearm he'd lost a week ago, except that it bore no scars and was the pallid shade of skin that had never seen the sun. The wolf had thoughtfully given him a swordsman's calluses, but the rest of his skin was highly sensitive. The slightest breath of wind sent waves of sensation. The skin was hairless, but the nails were grown in and perfectly trimmed. The little finger that Kylar had broken as a guild rat, and that would never fully straighten before, was now flawless. The wolf takes pride in his work. It's better than the hand I lost. Kylar found his destrier waiting in the woods where he'd left it. Tribe carried him like he weighed nothing, and it ate leagues for breakfast. But though he hated to admit it, the destrier intimidated him. Kylar was no horseman, and they both knew it. This morning, Tribe didn't give him any trouble as Kylar approached him carefully, absorbing the kakari back into his skin before he came within sight. As usual, Kylar had only worn underclothes beneath the kakari skin. The kakari could go over his clothes, but then the night angel looked lumpy, not exactly fear-inspiring. Tribe stared at him, making Kylar feel strangely self-conscious. "Ah, son of a—" Kylar said. His underclothes had a huge hole right over the crotch. No wonder it was breezy. "Why do you do that?" Tribe stared at him like he was crazy. "Do what?" the kakari asked. "Eat my clothes." "I am the devourer. You could leave my clothes alone, and my swords." "Some people like short swords."
"People like swords with edges."
"Good point."
"Stop devouring my stuff. Understood?"
"No. Especially when you ignore my puns."
"It wasn't a request."
"I understand. I won't obey."
Kylar was stricken silent. He grabbed worsted trousers, tunic, and his spare underclothes from the saddlebags and started to dress. He was stuck with this kakari for how long? Oh, right. Forever.
"You really don't understand this."
"You?" the kakari asked.
"You, a man of flesh and blood and spirit, could not remain a mild-mannered herbalist for 2 months. But you expect me, a blend of metals and magic, artificially infused with some small measure of intelligence and personality, to change my nature? As for the dull swords, I wasn't the one who sold retribution, was I?"
Kylar hadn't thought of that. Retribution's blade stayed perfect, despite having been covered with the kakari for years. And he'd sold it for nothing. No. He'd sold it to show Eileen how much she meant to him. The thought of her made him ache all over again. Now he'd fulfilled his vow to the wolf. Now, finally, he could find Eileen and make things right.
Or at least more right.
He reached up and touched the seamless earring in his left ear that claimed him to Vi Sovari, who now was only miles away, heading east and north toward Forglund's Pass. Why was Vi going to the Chantry? Kylar pushed it out of his mind. That bitch was the last thing he wanted to think about. Kylar suddenly grinned. "A small measure of intelligence and personality, huh?" The kakari swore at him. Kylar laughed.
"Besides," Kylar said quietly, "I have changed."
"I believe you,"
a man said behind him. In an instant, Kylar's sword was out. He spun, slashing. The man was tall, like a hero of legend. His armor, enameled white plate, with a polished mail coif that flowed around his shoulders in a cascade of steel. His helmet was tucked under his arm, and his face was gaunt, blue eyes bright. Kylar stopped the blade mere inches from Logan Gyre's neck. Logan smiled. Kylar faltered. Abruptly, he sheathed his sword and dropped to a knee. "Your Majesty," he said.
"Stand up and hug me, you little puke."
Kylar hugged him and saw Logan's bodyguards, half a dozen of Aegon's scruffy dogs led by a beautiful woman with, of all things, a shiny garter on her arm. They were all staring at him suspiciously. Kylar upbraided himself for letting no less than 8 people get so close before he noticed them. He was slipping. But then, Kylar let his self-recriminations go as he felt his friend's embrace. Logan's month in the hole had left too many sharp planes on his face and body for him to be handsome again yet, and feeling his slimness as he hugged Kylar was alarming. But there was an aura of rallying strength about him. Logan still had the same broad shoulders, the same noble carriage, and the same ridiculous height.
"You're calling me little?" Kylar asked. "I probably outweigh you by now. Smallest ogre I've ever seen."
Logan laughed, releasing him.
"You look good too, except..."
He turned Kylar's pale new arm over in his hand.
"Have you been sunning with one glove on?"
He waved a hand absently. The bodyguards withdrew.
"I hacked the old arm off," Kylar said. "Had to get a new one."
Logan chuckled.
"Another story you're not going to tell me?"
"You wouldn't believe me if I did," Kylar said.
"Try me."
"I just did."
"What is it with you and the lies?"
Logan asked, incredulous, like Kylar was a kid with frosting and crumbs on his face, claiming he'd never even seen a cake. Kylar went cold. When he spoke again, his voice was as harsh and remote as Durzo Blint's.
"You want to know why I lied to you for 10 years?
You were spying on me. I thought you were my friend."
"You pampered little fuck.
When you were worrying about being embarrassed by the nude statue in the entry of your mansion, I was sleeping in sewers. Literally. Because that's the only way a guild rat can stay warm enough on a freezing night to stay alive. When you were worrying about acne, I was worrying about the rapist who ran my guild and wanted to kill me, so yes, I apprenticed to a wet boy to get out. Yes, I lied to you. Yes, if you'd ever done anything wrong, I'd have told the Sakage. I didn't like it, but I did it. But let me ask you this, you self-righteous bastard. When you were in the hole and it was kill or be killed, what did you do? I lived in a hole my whole fucking life, and you tell me who's more responsible for what Cenaria has become, my father, who was too weak to raise a child, or yours, who was too weak to become a king." Logan's face drained. With his gauntness, it made his face look like a gray skull with burning eyes. His voice was flat.
"To take the throne,
my father would have had to murder the children of the woman he loved. And how many children died because he didn't? That's the burden of leadership, Logan. Making the choice when none of the choices are good. When you nobles won't pay, others have to. People like me. Kids with nothing." Logan was silent for a long moment.
"This isn't about my father, is it?"
"Where the fuck is your crown?" Kylar demanded. Through the earring bond, Kylar could feel Vi's concern over the jumble of his emotions.
"She was feeling damn it!
Kylar tried to wall her out, push the feelings off to one side. The big man looked haggard.
Did you ever meet Janine Gunder?
When would I meet a princess? It took Kylar a second to remember that Logan had been married to Janine, albeit for only a few hours. Kalidor's coup had come the very night of Logan's wedding. She'd bled to death in Logan's arms.
You'd think I'd be over it, Logan said. Honestly, I'd always assumed that a girl as beautiful and happy as she was had to be stupid. What an asshole I was.
Kylar, have you ever looked into a woman's eyes and found that she made you want to be strong and good and true? Protective, fierce, noble? Finding Janine was finding something better than I ever dared to dream. Kylar didn't want to hear it. It reminded him of Eileen, and if he thought about Eileen, his anger would die.
I was supposed to go from that to Tara Grayson?
Logan asked.
I couldn't. Not for a crown. Not for anything. But I saw everyone on the battlefield bowing to you. I'd given my troth.
Logan trailed off. Kylar threw his hands up, despairing. Logan's eyes filled with dim sorrow.
I did what I thought was right.
Imagine a king who does that.
Kylar looked at Logan as he hadn't looked at him, even when he'd rescued him from the hole. Then he had only been able to see the physical wounds. Now he saw more. There was the gravitas of pain deep in Logan's eyes.
You'd do it again,
Kylar said. Logan forced a weak laugh.
Hey, I'm already having my doubts.
No, you're not. The laughter died.
Yes, I am,
Logan said quietly, his eyes never leaving Kylar's, his gaze never wavering.
But yes, I'd do it again. This is who I am.
He had never been more royal.
Let me see him.
Kylar put his hand on his friend's arm and saw Logan through his own eyes. Less handsome, but fierce, primal in the filth of the hole, tearing raw flesh from a human leg with his teeth. Weeping. There he was, hating the holers, sinking into the filth, becoming a holer in his own eyes. There he was, deciding over the hard knot of hunger that gnawed him day and night, that he would share his next meal, lest he abandon being human altogether. There he was, handing out food and hating those who accepted, but doing it. That small core of nobility became the most important possession Logan had, and he would pay any price for it. That lesson was bound up in Sarah Drake, who had been Logan's fiancée before King Gunder forced him to marry Princess Janine. Logan had loved Sarah once, but that love had withered over the years, finally propped up only by false kindness. He'd been planning to marry the wrong woman because he didn't want to hurt her feelings. Breaking his engagement had been the right thing to do, but it had seemed too cruel. But if they hadn't been engaged, Sarah wouldn't have been at the castle the night of the coup. She'd still be alive. In the hole, sharing food had been the right thing to do. It had seemed stupid, but in the end, the holers helped Logan because he helped them first. Logan's failure and his success had driven home the same lesson. Do what you know is right, and you'll get the best consequences in the end. It was, Kylar thought, why Logan might be great.
You could count on him. He was loyal. He was honest. And he would fight to the death to do the right thing.
Always. We've both come pretty far, Kylar said.
You think we can be friends?
No.
Grimly, Logan shook his head.
Not friends.
Best friends. Then he grinned, and the last year seemed to roll off Kylar's back. They were the kind of friends who would stand and be counted. For Kylar, who had always kept dirty secrets that threatened everything, the feeling was precious beyond words.
What happens now?
Kylar asked.
One more errand and then...
Well, I'm going to write a book.
Kylar tented his eyebrows. No offense, Your Ogrishness, but what are you going to write a book about?
You know how I've always loved words.
I'm going to write a book of words. I was under the impression that that's what most books are.
Not composed of words.
I'm going to write a book defining all the words in our language. I'm calling it a dictionary.
You're writing in Jaren?
Yes.
Defining Jaren words.
Right.
So you'll have to already know Jaren to read it.
You make it sound stupid,
Logan said, scowling.
Hmm.
Kylar gave an I wonder why that is shrug. The idea of Logan's commanding form sequestered in a candle-lit study, squinting at manuscripts, was funny. Except that Logan thought he was serious. Logan was scholarly, but he was no scholar. He was born to lead. This book idea was a pretense to shield him from seeing Terra's mistakes and from his own impulses to do something about them. Minutes ago, Kylar had thought he was done. He'd kept his oath to the wolf. He thought that now he'd be free to go make things right with Eline. But now Terra Grayson was queen. She probably had a contract out on Logan already. The best way to cancel a contract was to cancel the contract taker. And Terra Grayson deserved canceling.
One more kill, and I can change a country. With Logan as king, things can be different. There won't have to be guilds or guild rats anymore.
Eline was still safe in Waedron. He could do this in a week and be on his way.
Look, we have to talk more, but first, Logan said, I need to piss, and then I need to figure out what to do about the Caladorans and this Lee Nought army.
What army?
Kylar asked.
What do you mean, what army?
You have that look in your eye.
Those Caladorans aren't Caladorans. The Lee Nought have been wiped out. And we need to get to Cenaria before the Seoran army does.
The Seoran what?
Kylar just laughed.